Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship in Port St Paul's. hand you over to Elspeth now.
Sharing. I'm saying Margaret is screen sharing.
No, Margaret, you're not screen sharing, and I don't know if you're hearing me. I think I accidentally turned off the screen share. Are you hearing me in church? Right. So, yeah, what we would like you all to do, please, is let us know after the service which format you think is better. We might find a better one yet, but for just now, is it better that I'm here on Zoom, or is it better when I'm in church? So looking forward to feedback. And based on that feedback, we'll decide what we do next Sunday. So it's really good to welcome you all this morning, both those on Zoom and those in the church. It's really good to see you all. The usual setup for next Sunday is either join on Zoom or phone Grace Graham for a place in church, for a seat in church, and her number is 078-233-88152. So we're gathered remotely and in person to worship God. God is love, and we are all his beloved children. We are only able to love one another because he first loved us. And God's love is a perfect love, which drives out all fear. Our opening psalm this morning is Psalm 130, and Jim Sinclair is our Bible reader, and he's in church. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord.
Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy.
If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you.
I wait for the Lord. My whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope.
I wait for the Lord more than watchmen wait for the morning, more than watchmen wait for the morning.
Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption.
He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Amen.
Amen. Our first hymn is demonstrating one of the few benefits of lockdown and our having to find different ways of worshipping God. Because although we can't sing to the organ, we can enjoy from recordings a wide variety of different instruments and different voices. And this is an example of just that. The hymn is in the purple hymn books if you want to follow along. Sing for God's glory that colours the dawn. You enjoyed that. I don't know where it was filmed, but interesting that the drummer was being photobombed by a tanker at the end, I think, or a container ship. So we're into school holidays now, and I decided to return to my habit of using my Book of Wisdom stories, and I have a story to share with you today, which is called The Chief's Three Sons. Once there was a Native American chief who was nearing the end of his life. Even though he had tried many times, he was not able to decide which of his sons should succeed him as chief. One day, he gathered his sons together and told them, "Do you see that mountain in the distance? I want you to journey to that mountain, climb to its summit, and bring back the thing you think will be most helpful in leading our people." After several days, the first son returned with a load of flint stones used to make arrow tips and spear points. He told his father, "Our people will never live in fear of their enemies. I know where there is a mound of flint." The second son climbed to the top of the mountain and on the way found forests rich with wood for making fires. When he returned, he said to his father, "Our people will never be cold in winter. I know where wood can be found in abundance to keep them warm and to cook their food." The third son returned late and empty-handed. He stated, When I got to the summit, I found nothing worth bringing back. I searched everywhere, but the top of the mountain was barren rock and useless. Then I looked out towards the horizon, far into the distance. I was astonished to see new land filled with forests and meadows, mountains and valleys, fish and animals, a land of great beauty and great peace. I brought nothing back, for the land was still far off, and I didn't have time to travel there. But I would love to go there someday. I delayed coming back because I found it very difficult to return after seeing the beauty of that land. The old chief's eyes blazed. He grasped his third son in his arms, proclaiming that he would succeed him as the new chief. He thought to himself, the other sons brought back worthy things, necessary things. But my third son has a vision. He has seen a better land, the promised land, and he burns with the desire to go there. Story to ponder, especially at this time of change. What vision do we have for our church and for our lives in Christ? Let's now come before God in prayer. And the prayers I'm using today are adapted from the Iona Community We Worship books. Loving, living God, you keep us waiting. You, the God of all time, want us to wait for the right time in which to discover who we are, where we must go, who will be with us, and what we must do. Forgive us our impatience and help us to thank you for the waiting time. Lord, you keep us looking. You, the God of all space, want us to look in the right and wrong places for signs of hope, for people who are hopeless, for visions of a better world which will appear among the disappointments of the world we know. Forgive our failure to look and help us to thank you for the looking time. You keep us loving. You, the God whose name is love, want us to be like you, to love the loveless, the unloved, and the unlovely, to love without jealousy or design or threat, and most difficult of all, to love ourselves. Forgive us when we fail to love, and help us to thank you for the loving time. And in all this, you keep us through hard questions with no easy answers, through failing where we hope to succeed, and making an impact when we thought we were useless, through patience and encouragement and love of others, and through Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit, you keep us. Forgive us when we are tempted to give up or give in, and help us to thank you for the keeping time, for now and forever. And I invite you all at home and on Zoom to join me as we say the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is a favourite of mine. So I was going to get Audrey to play it, but I knew that if she did, I would sing along. Of course, now that I'm at home, I can sing along. But I hope that those of you in church who are not allowed to sing yet will enjoy "If You Believe and I Believe and We Together Pray, the Holy Spirit Shall Come Down." Jim to read our Bible reading for us from Mark chapter 9. He'll be reading verses 14 to 29.
Mark 9, 14 to 29. Jesus heals a boy possessed by an impure spirit. When they came to other disciples, to the other disciples, they saw a large crowd around them, and the teachers of the law arguing with them. As soon as all the people saw Jesus, they were overwhelmed with wonder and ran to greet him. "What are you arguing with them about?" he asked. A man in the crowd answered, "Teacher, I brought you my son, who is possessed by a spirit that has robbed him of speech. Whenever it seizes him, it throws him to the ground. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive out the spirit, but they could not." "You unbelieving generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." So they brought him, and when the spirit saw Jesus, it immediately threw the boy into convulsion. He fell to the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. Jesus asked the boy's father, "How long has he been like this?" "From childhood," he answered. "It has often thrown him into fire or water to kill him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." "If you can," said Jesus, "everything is possible for one who believes." Immediately the boy's father exclaimed, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." When Jesus saw that a crowd was running to the scene, he rebuked the impure spirit. "You deaf and mute spirit, he said, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. The spirit shrieked, convulsed him violently, and came out. The boy looked so much like a corpse that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him up, took him by the hand and lifted him to his feet, and he stood up. After Jesus had gone indoors, his disciples asked him privately, why couldn't we drive it out? He replied, this kind can come out only by prayer. Amen, and may God bless us through the reading of his word.
Thank you, Jim. Of course, that reading makes it clear that we can't measure how God heals. So let's listen to the next hymn, one of the ones from CH4, it's number 718. We cannot measure how you heal. Beautiful hymn, I'm sure you all agree. I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief. These words really resonated with me as I studied this passage this week. So that's what I'm going to focus on. But first, because we are all so different, and approach this passage from a wide variety of angles, I want to suggest a few questions for us to ponder. Jesus and his three closest friends, Peter, James, and John, had just come back down the mountain after the Transfiguration. I wonder, what was it about Jesus that made the crowd of people overwhelmed with wonder? Was something of the Transfiguration still visible? The teachers of the law were arguing with Jesus' disciples. That's the ones he'd left at the bottom of the mountain. And Jesus asks what they're arguing about. But it's the father of the boy who answers. Why didn't the teachers of the law answer? And what happens to them? Because they're never mentioned again in this passage. The man's son was possessed by a spirit. Here in the West, we don't really understand or accept the concept of possession by spirits. Yet, perhaps we should stop and ask ourselves sometimes what we are possessed or controlled by. Do we accumulate belongings, Facebook likes, or money? And why? Do we spend most of our time watching TV and films or playing games instead of praying, reading our Bibles, and spending quality time with our family and friends? Or are we controlled by the desire to be in control? Or the desire to be better than our neighbour, rather than focusing on loving them? There are so many ways in which we are possessed. Now, the man had asked the disciples to drive out his son's spirit, but they couldn't. How did those disciples feel? And how do we cope when our prayers go unanswered? Jesus' words, "You unbelieving generation, how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring the boy to me." That might sound like frustration on Jesus' part. I wonder what tone of voice he used. I'll share with you. I made a real mess of something yesterday as a result of selfishness and anger. And I was later aware of Jesus being frustrated at me, as he was in that passage. And yet, as I sat and contemplated this, I could see Jesus approaching me, saying with such love, "Oh, Elspeth, when will you learn?" And then he took me in his arms and gave me a loving hug. My slowness to learn how to follow him does not affect his unconditional love for me. And the same is true for every single one of us. Thank goodness. So they brought the boy to Jesus, and the spirit recognized Jesus and threw the boy into a convulsion. That's really frightening to watch if you've ever seen someone taking an epileptic fit. I think that's what's being described here. But Jesus calmly asks the father about it. And the boy's father then asks Jesus, "If you can do anything, take pity on us and help us." The man had brought his son because he believed that Jesus could make him well. But the disciples' failure to help caused him to doubt. Perhaps we too have been disappointed by the church or by ministers or prayer leaders. And maybe we too have begun to doubt if Jesus really can help us. Jesus picks up on the Father's words immediately. "If you can," said Jesus, and then he went on, "everything is possible for one who believes." And this is where that mind-blowing response from the boy's father comes. "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." See, all faith is a gift from God. However much faith we have, we are never self-sufficient. Faith cannot be stored away like money in a bank. Faith has to be constantly growing. It's never static. And it grows when we use it, when we are constantly renewing our trust in Jesus and taking anything and everything to him in prayer. In the words of Joseph Scriven's beautiful hymn, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus," "Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer." So I wonder, had the disciples been so buoyed up by their success in driving out spirits in the past that they'd forgotten that it was never in their own strength, but only by total dependence on God that they were able to do so? Or maybe they had grown lazy in their prayer life. Or even perhaps they were wondering what Jesus was doing up on the mountain. Maybe they were jealous of Peter, James, and John, so that they weren't completely focused on trying to heal the father and his son. So they came to Jesus and they asked him why they hadn't been able to heal the boy. Jesus offers no criticism, no judgment, and there's no hint of that frustration. He simply and lovingly replies, "This kind can come out only by prayer." Perfect faith, doubt-free faith, lies in the province of God's perfection and is certainly not within the reach of we mere mortals. We may try to convince ourselves that our faith is free from doubt, but if we're honest, all of us can well identify with the words, "I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief." Two ways that I've found to begin to overcome my unbelief are prayer and thankfulness. Twice this week, good friends of mine have said to me, "I know exactly how you feel, Elspeth." But that's actually never true, because no one human being will ever really know the interior workings of another. But God can. We can take everything to God in prayer, because he really does know how we feel, because he really knows us inside out. He knows us because he made us. So we can safely come to him in prayer and say, "I do believe, help me overcome my unbelief." Because Jesus showed us that God is always ready to help anyone in need. All we need to do is ask. Amen. Now going to listen to a modern hymn on the subject of taking it all to God in prayer. It's called Bring It All to Me. So let's do just that and bring everything to God in prayer. Lord, we pray today believing that you hear our prayers. And hold our belief and our unbelief in your loving hands. We pray for those who need to be remembered today, those who have made the news headlines today because of what they've done or said or what has happened. We pray particularly today for all affected by the building collapse in Miami. We pray for those who have been brought to our attention through a meeting or a conversation. We pray for those who are in hospital, in care, or in a place which is strange to them. We pray for those in whose family, marriage, or close relationship there is stress or a breakup. We pray for those who are waiting for a birth or a death or news which will affect their lives. We pray for Jean and all the family and friends of Bill Beverly, who died on Monday. We pray for all who received exam results this week. We pray for those who need to forget the God they do not believe in and meet the God who believes in them. We pray for those whose belief and unbelief are not in balance. We pray for those whose pain or potential we should not forget to share with God today. Lord, we believe that you hear our prayers better than we speak them. So when our eyes open again, may they do so not simply to end our devotions, but to see and expect your kingdom. For God's sake, amen. Thank you so much for joining us in worship this morning in different forms. And I just repeat again, please do let us know how you found the sound and in either format and whether how you found it in church, being able to hear me but not see me. We're trying to find the best way forward, and your feedback is really valuable to us. But now, ascending. From where we are to where you need us, Jesus, now lead on. From the familiarity of what we know to the wonder of what you will reveal, Jesus, now lead on. To transform the fabric of this world until it resembles the shape of your kingdom. Jesus, now lead on. Because good things have been prepared for those who love God. Jesus, now lead on. And may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, rest and remain upon each and every one of us today and forevermore. Amen.